Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. Today we are joined by NBA legend, played 13 seasons, two-time champion with the Rockets, Vernon Maxwell. Mad Max, we appreciate you pulling
man,
up.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all. I've been waiting on this shit for a long time, man. I'm glad to be on here.
Y'all connected with your guy Cam out of Memphis. He's like, man, we got to get Mad Max on the show. I'm like, yo, we got to make it happen.
No doubt, man. That's my guy, man.
Glad to finally make it come to fruition and get you out here in Vegas.
I appreciate it, man. That's my guy, man. He always got my back on Cam.
So we talk about just NBA Summer League. We're out here at the Blue Wire Studios at the Wynn. You know, what are your favorite kind of experiences in Vegas just coming up throughout your career and just what NBA Summer League is now versus what it was back in the day?
The truth? I like to see the young kids, first of all. I'm going to put that out there. I like to see the young boys that just got drafted come in the league and see just how they're going to, you know, how the transition, mm-hmm. you know, and that, I like to see that part, but then I like, you know, I'm a single man, so there's a lot of women out here. I like that shit too. And then there's some other shit I like out here that, you know, that's illegal. Well, they ain't legal out here. No. I like this. I like that. I like them flowers too. Okay. I like the.
Right. Yeah, no, so, we are. So, they got them. They got them.
So I like to do that too. So that's why I love Vegas coming out here this time of the year. Mm. Yeah.
Is Summer League different from when you played to now?
Oh, hell yeah, man. I think it was in LA or somewhere. But it was totally different, man. We didn't have so many guys that didn't have contracts playing, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a lot of guys like myself. I went from being in the top 10 in the draft and went 48 out of 50, you know. So, but I had a contract when I came to the Summer League, so a lot of these, it's just different. And we already knew back then that we were on a team. Mm-hmm. Like I already, these guys, there's so much pressure on these motherfuckers. Yeah. You know, goddamn, boy, I got to make this goddamn jump shot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of goddamn pressure out here. So I'm just saying, man, but that's the difference I'd see from back then and now. We already knew we were going to be on a team and because we already had signed our contracts. And now these guys, they're just like, shit, they just swimming in the water like a salmon and shit, trying to figure this shit out. They don't even know. There's so much pressure. You got to make jump shots. You got to stop. You got to be two-way. I mean, it's just tough, man, now. So,
Yeah. Somebody, you know, like I remember when I was playing and I signed a two-year deal, right? Because I was second rounder.
Right.
But, you know, it still wasn't like, my job. So I was like, you know, I'm at Summer League. I'm playing for every team out here at this
that's
point.
That's why. That's where he is. That's where it was back then.
It's not like I'm not. I'm
playing for this team. I got this jersey on. I'm playing for all these other ones.
That pressure becomes
so magnified, man. I'm trying to tell you.
Yes, you're trying to make teams. Like I seen like one kid to be on this team for Summer League this week, next week. He's going to be on.
That's what I'm trying to say, man. It's so crazy now, man. But that's the difference. What I see back from now and then. So yeah.
So you were drafted in the second round, 1988. What was it like for you walking to the league out of Florida, just all the great shooting guards they had during that era, and just trying to find your fit and prove that you belong?
Well, shit, you know, I'm gonna lock your ass up, I felt, you know, because back then, you know, not when Gil was, you know, I knew he was a killer, but, you know, we can put our hands on your ass. I can really get up there and grab your and kind of guide you where I want you to go. But then, you know, when I played against Alvin Robertson, this guy, he was a quadruple double guy, mm-hmm. you know. Before I got in the league and out of San Antonio with the Spurs, they drafted me. And when we had our black and white game in San Antonio, and I had to perform because I was really on a make good and doing the, mm-hmm. you know, in the training camp. So I really had to perform and that was like gonna make or break me right there. So that was my pressure game right there. And when I bust his ass, I went out there, I had about 30, I think. And and nobody in the stands couldn't believe it because Allen Robinson, you know, he was a lockdown defender. You know, nobody can give an Allen 30 but Mike probably, you know? So, and I did that, they was like, oh shit, who is this? So then that's when they signed me the next day. You know, we wasn't getting no money back then. Now, goddamn, I'm so embarrassed to tell you, goddamn money they gave me. Shit, it was $250,000. So that's what I, you know,
that's
I
some
signed.
Good bread back then, though.
That's good bread.
Second round?
Huh?
Second round?
Yeah. Back in 1988.
Shit, 2001, 2001, I was only on like 340, so what?
So that's like the same. It's the same.
It's the same
thing. It's like the same thing. So, I mean, shit, man, that shit. So, and that's what it was, and it ended up being 300. But shit, I mean, I had to do that to make that. Then shit, then I took off from there. I mean, but when the Spurs, they, you know, Popovich, you know, military guy, love you, Pop. What, love you, Pop. You know that. Shit, but you know, I ain't no military motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that shit he wanted me to do. And just to tell you the truth, I mean, you know, I'm from Florida. I mean, I'm new in this little, I don't know, San Antonio, and this motherfucker's trying me everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. So I had to, and then I'm knocking out, you know, in the streets. And so, I mean, Pop tell me, yo, no more clubs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, if you go to a club again, you know, the next time, you know, you go to a club, I got to get you out of here. Shit, soon as he told me that day, 6 hours later, I was at a damn bar in the club. Called me the next day, by 6 a.m, hey, I need you down there, Popovich. I said, oh, shit, here we go. He said, I told you. They had a PI following me. My dumb ass didn't even know. So then shit. He told me, okay, get your shit packed. We're gonna find you somewhere to go. I'm gonna get your ass out of here today. Get your shit packed. That's what he told me. So I said, oh, coach, where you gonna send me at? And then, shit, he said, we don't know yet. We're fine trying to find a team that wants your ass, you know, because I hadn't really did nothing. So I was like, okay, cool. So then the motherfucker called me back, so you going to Houston? I said, oh, shit. These motherfuckers sent me to my city. I said, these motherfuckers got me where I want to be, in Chocolate City, you know, where all the people, you know what I mean? So and that's when I just flourished. I took off from there, man, because, you know, Don Chaney brought me in, and he said, man, I don't give a damn what happened over there in San Antonio. Man, I just want you to be yourself, man, and play ball, man. Be who the fuck you are. And that's when I just took off from there.
So basically going to the club really helped your career.
Man, I wouldn't have made it. No, basically, I tell everybody I wouldn't have fucking made it, man. I swear. I was on my way out the league, man. Yeah.
That's in why San Antonio?
And that's what,
you know, players really do understand. Like, no matter how talented you are, if you in the wrong situation, you
man,
under the wrong coach,
that wrong
you
fit,
can,
man, that shit is not good,
yeah,
man.
You'd be sitting there like,
man, it's toxic as hell, yeah. Man. You can't do nothing either. I mean, you got to try to stay being a professional and shit. But it'd be hard, man, because you've been that guy all your life. And then you know what you busting these ass, and you busting these boys' ass in practice and shit. And you just know you can play and these still just, no, man. No, you ain't. No, I mean, I was just saying, that's hard to swallow, man. So
I used to be on the bench like, man. He's trash.
Come on, see what I'm saying?
Like, what's so funny is, I said, you know, when everyone talks about the end of the bench, right? And they talk about, yeah, they cheering. I said, no. Man. If you a superstar and your time is ending, and you can be sitting on the, and you sit, and these players want to get in, trust me, the people on the end of that bench, 14, 15, trust me, they don't like you.
That's right. I'm trying to tell you.
We trying to get time, too, so we can get in there. And I used to be like, bro, just, man, shake that quick. Like, damn, man, I can get some time, man. Like, it was one of those things, either blow us out so I can get in,
goddamn, they done fuck my time. Goddamn, this is my time up at night.
Damn, man. I'm not clear. Yeah. Listen, I'm clapping because I just supposed to do that, but trust me, I want to be out there.
Yeah,
I
want you, no doubt, I want man. You that's what they want you to do. Be a team player. You gotta jump up off the mud. Come on, that man. That was shit.
So those are the people thought I was sick when I said
that. I heard you when you were saying that shit, and I felt it. I'm like that.
The bench, bro. It's like when you're a starter.
Right.
Yeah, you. But when you coming from the bench and working your way up, there's this bench mentality, and you sitting there
shit,
like,
man. Yeah, man. You won't.
I don't give a what we want. I'll shoot when I get in.
I don't give a fuck what they say. I want this motherfucker. Get hurt in front of me. I ain't sitting. I'm telling you, God help too, Gil. I want your ass. I want a motherfucker playing in front of me, man. Man, get that motherfucker. Man, step on his foot, man.
Give me a chance.
I can get in this motherfucker. Shit, man, just give me a shot where I can show this shit, man.
Yeah, I just need a shot to
I can play you, man. Just give me a fast shot. Like you do these motherfuckers went 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the draft.
Yep.
Yeah, give me a fast shot like them.
Yep.
So you go to Houston, obviously you get to play with Hakeem Olajuwon. Yeah. You know, when we look at some of the greatest players in the NBA history, it always seems like the Dream's name is getting overlooked. Do you feel like he don't get the love that he deserves from basketball?
Yeah, that's just crazy. That's unbelievable, man. I mean, he got to be in the, top 5 centers ever to play this game, man. Quiet, humble guy, you know, didn't say a lot, wasn't in the spotlight like that, you know, didn't want all that shit, you know, so I think that's what, like, hindered him a little bit, but, I mean, totally great person when he became Muslim. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you to say that, before he was Muslim, he was, that motherfucker tough to deal with. But when
what's so tough about him dealing with him before he made the, before he converted?
Oh, shit, slap shit out you, all shit. He walked up on me, he walked up on me in Seattle. I mean, that long-ass walk from the court in Seattle, got a long-ass walk back to the locker room from the floor at halftime. I'm mad as hell. I probably got about 4 or 5 points. I'm spitting on the floor while I'm walking in the locker, walking back that long-ass hall. He walking behind me. I'm like, man, this some bullshit, man. Y'all motherfuckers, man, get up that goddamn rock. I'm up in the, you pass that bitch, kick it up, let me go on tack. These motherfuckers, I'm spitting and Dream, man, stop that shit, man. Be a professional, man. Dream, man. I don't want to hear that shit, man. Fuck you, Dream. That's why I told him he walking behind me. So they always put us in the locker room by him, me. I'm like, I don't want to be by this. So, but they had me by him all the time. So he came in the locker room and I got my head down. Like, man, I don't want to hear this shit, man. Motherfucker, man, get up that goddamn rock, man. You know, so, and then I seen these two motherfucking Etonic motherfuckers. The motherfucker wore Etonics. The motherfucking big Etonic ass shoes stepping between my motherfucking legs. I've got my legs spread. I'm sitting down, these big ass Etonics stepping between my legs. I looked up like the shit, man, go ahead, bow. I said, God damn, this motherfucker slapped the shit out of me. And you know, the Mavs got them hard ass hands. Big old long, hard, crust ass, gray ass hands. And motherfucker cut a piece of meat with their hands. That motherfucker hit me so hard, man, knocked me out the chair. I jumped up, grabbed my chair, and throwed it at the motherfucker and busted glass all in the damn locker room. Everybody running out, police coming in with the guns drawn. I'm like, what the hell going on in here? Max, please put it down. Oh, Lord, I'm saying, damn, they got the guns on me at a professional halftime, man, a professional game, man.
Basketball, though, that's what the...
Back in the day, I'm like, these motherfuckers, here, put it down, man. Put that damn knife. I broke the glass. I picked up a big piece of glass. I was going to chase Dream and stab the shit out of him. But then that's when everybody ran out of the goddamn locker room, so I couldn't get to nobody. So. But then it's just, I mean, but that's how he was before.
That's how he was before. He pushed me to the limit. Yeah.
But shit, now after that, he became Muslim. He was so quiet, so humble, so wanted me to become Muslim and everything. I couldn't do it. But he was a great teammate after that.
So you say he's kind of quiet, but he talk trash to you guys ever?
He just say, give me the ball.
Yeah, give it.
Give me the damn
ball. Sam Cassell used to tell me that.
Give me the ball. You guys don't want to win. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. I mean, goddamn, Dream. Now you got it 20 straight times. Every time we came down, let's drop five.
Drop five.
Get to him and spot your ass up. Because they're going to have to come double him eventually. And when they do, we got three killers out there ready to shoot them. We ain't getting it that much. So yeah, man. But after that, he was been a great guy, man. After that, he was a good teammate. That's why we won those two championships. But they said Mike wasn't there, so our shit don't count. That's bullshit.
Shit,
that's
what I was
bullshit me, man. You goddamn, I wish a motherfucker try to take them two rings away from me. I guarantee you, boy, I'm going to motherfucking prison out there in Colorado where they put your ass under the ground. Better not take them rings. I fought hard for them motherfuckers. Mike.
You know, people say that the only reason the Rocks were able to go back to back is because MJ was gone. He actually came back the next year, but he was a shell of himself. He had to get back acclimated to the league.
Yeah,
but
shit.
Do you think that 94 Rocket squad taking on if MJ came back, y'all would have had smoke for him?
Hey, man, we used to beat them all the time, man. You just got to go
during
back.
During regular season.
Yes, yeah. Man, we used to beat them. I know it's different during the playoffs, but man, shit, man. I just feel like, man, we had that big ass African back there, man. And Bill Lamb, what that
Bill Cartwright
and Will Perdue. Yeah. Man, them motherfuckers wasn't gonna be able to do it, man. They would have had to do a lot of damn. Mike wasn't gonna be able to, and you know, Mike liked to do all that damn help shit, cheat and all that shit, and I was gonna be cutting his damn head open too with them damn threes. Mike, you better stay out here, buddy. You can't run in there like you used to do these other motherfuckers, because I'm gonna cut you up. But yeah, but man, we just look at the numbers, man. I mean, the numbers don't lie, man. We was beating the shit out of them boys. I mean, we wasn't beating them by five. We was beating them motherfuckers by 15, 17, 16, 13.
Yeah.
We was beating them. Over like a, what, like a 8-year span, 7-year span, we was 9-1. I mean, shit, come on, man.
Yeah, they, y'all beat them out Orlando in the championship. I was a big Penny fan.
But Nick did that shit to y'all, though.
Yeah.
Nick went up that motherfucker. I'm pulling on his damn show. I said, he missed six straight free
six
throws.
Trust me.
That's weird, man. I mean, didn't even come close. That man was so nervous on that line.
What's so funny is because of those free throws with him, and I watch that as a kid, when I miss mine against LeBron, that's the only thing that came to my mind. Oh, my God. I'm about to be Nick Yen. Oh shit, no. Right? Like I went to a specialist. I went to San Francisco, I went to the Marine. Oh no, you gonna have to
Yeah,
you gotta put something strong up in here.
Cause I can't go back next year attacking this shit.
The free throws go hard.
Yeah, that shit gonna hunt the shit out you, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, man.
But Dream, like when it comes to top five, right?
Yeah.
It's hard for the youth to judge right? Like, so I always say, it's hard for me to judge anybody after I learned how
to play,
right. Learned how to watch. So when people ask my five, I say, listen, my five starts at this era. From like 90,
right.
I can really just say, all right, I can watch. Before that, I can't give a fair judgment.
Because you ain't play against
that.
I don't really know.
I talked to Clyde, and you know, Clyde told me some shit that I didn't even consider. He's like, you got to remember, when it came to like money-wise and all this, he's like, some of them teams, like, they wasn't paying us, but we still got to play.
No doubt.
Playing good enough to be seen, not good enough to help them
win. That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's good,
averaging 24, really, we can average 30.
Right.
And I was like, he's like, he said, people don't know, I made the All-Star game as a point guard.
Right. Yeah, he did.
Everybody's thinking I'm 3-2. I was a point.
Yeah, he's a point.
He's a point. Now that should piss off the Blazers.
Right.
If he was your point, why MJ couldn't be your two again?
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's shit. Well, you know,
it seemed like 80s basketball had an 80s, from the 92.
Right.
It's today's game in a sense where the guards played 1, 2, 3.
Right.
They played.
Right.
You know, in the mid 90s, everybody had to be like certain type of players.
Right. You got to be in a certain place. Right.
But when you listen to some of the old players, like, I made the All-Star at the 1. I made the All-Star at the 2.
2, 3.
That's today's game.
Yes, that's right. You got to be able to play all those positions that right there today.
Because you got a guard, like, you know, if you're, you know, yeah, if you're a defender, you got to defend guard. one, two, and three.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it just skipped the early era of the 2000s, I mean, the 90s, mid-90s, and then, like, early 2000 when everybody was put in the position.
Right, you just guard your man. That's your man. You guard your man.
You are a point.
Yeah, and you guard. That's what it was.
That was I'm going to bring the ball up. I'm going to be the point.
Right.
So you look back in those days, obviously, you talked about MJ. What was it like for you having to guard MJ? Like, what were you thinking about the night before? What was going through your head when you saw MJ coming up on the schedule?
Oh, my goodness, man. You look at that shit when they bring out the schedule in the summertime when they put them goddamn schedules out. You look and you put that damn mark on Chicago. And you just, the night before, you ask me shit, man. It's sleepless nights, man. That shit be rough. I mean, man, think about this shit, what you got to do tomorrow, and you don't want to get embarrassed, and and you know this motherfucker don't know how to stop coming at you. He gonna just like you, just keep coming and coming. And keep that damn foot on your throat, man, and he just keep coming. And man, you just have to do some shit that to him, try to do some shit to him that nobody else ever did to try to get him off his square. But shit, you know, you can't touch him. You can't do nothing to him, man. So, and man, I just tried to do a shit that nobody else would do to him. And but Mike is Mike, man. The best player ever, man, I ever played. Because I never thought I'd see nothing like that, man. I used to see the bottom of that motherfucking tennis shoes, man. When that motherfucker take off, spin on me so quick, man, I should be standing there. I'd be like, oh, shit, where is he at? That motherfucker be boom, I'd be like, oh, Lord. I just try to run back my head there, because everybody like, oh, shit, and he'd come up behind you. You know, Michael, he's some like, funny tile shit. He's going to run up behind you, hit you on your ass like that. Man, don't put your hands on me. You're on a different jersey, man. You don't
touch. It's a different jersey.
Man, that's what he do to you, man. But Mike, man, is the best, man. I mean, all these kids talk a lot of shit. Ja, you know, I love you and your daddy. Hey, man, stop that shit, man. You ain't want them problems, bro. I'm just telling you, I'm looking at all these damn cameras at these boys. You don't want them problems, bro.
Look, as a young hooper, right, we can only judge our talent.
Right.
So we cold.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you listen to Jamal Crawford, he got his ass busted by MJ trying that shit. Everybody, we're not talking about.
And not one person said they stopped this.
We're not talking about the 86, the 89. We're not talking about that MJ.
No.
We're talking about 98 MJ.
Yeah, all that shit, all through the 90s shit. That shit.
We're talking about 2001 MJ.
Wizards killed everybody with 20.
Like, people don't realize, yo, he averaged 20.
Yes, man.
At 40. I want to see what that man looked like at 20.
Come on, man. Oh, my goodness, man. That man was shit. They talking about how good I look now. That man, woo. That man was chiseled. I mean, a dirty motherfucking dog. And
is that what he had over everybody? That he still had that dog mentality?
Man, he's a dog. That's what it was, Gil. He was just a dog, man. I mean, everybody think Michael, man, he was a dog, man. That motherfucker was nasty as hell.
Because when you look at the era and you got the Mad Max, you got all these people in there, and it's like, how did him, you got the, you got the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, the Bad Boys and
shit.
He's
taking clotheslines
all this shit. Yeah, he got
to
go.
He had to be just
mentally
just like them to actually go through it and then overcome it.
He had to get it. It took him years to get over that shit with Detroit and all that shit. He got in that weight room, and that's what built. He got in that weight room and got stronger. Mm-hmm. And because he couldn't take that pounding what Detroit was putting on him, and then he got himself together, man. I mean, that man, oh my goodness, man. They just leave alone, Black Jesus, please. Nobody don't talk about that man. Leave that man alone, man. He
Black
in a class
G,
by
the black
himself.
Cat, yes.
Yeah, he by a class by himself, man. Yeah. Leave him alone, man.
So, obviously, you seem like a man who don't like to be trifled with. We know, you done got into with fans, players, all that. Was MJ talking shit to you, or would he kind of tone it down a little bit when you were guarding him, or were y'all guarding
him? He really wouldn't say too much to me. I was trying to get him rattled and say shit to him. I was like, damn, motherfucker, you ain't gonna say nothing? You know, but our thing with me and Mike, when we used to play against each other, he used to post me up all the time, because I'm 6'4", and and shit, and I was like probably the heaviest I ever been in my life. I was 190 pounds. And he's goddamn 6'6", 218, and he used to post me up all the time. And when he figured out that turnaround shit, and he used to f*** me up with that. I don't know, man. I don't want to talk about this motherfucker no more, really, man. I'm tired of Mike, man. Hey, Mike, well, I'm telling you, though, man. Put me on Jumpman, man. Goddamn, man. I shouldn't be paying for no goddamn shit, man. Joints and shit. My kids shouldn't be paying for this shit. Let's get Jumpman on Mad Max, man, and the damn family, man. Come on now, shit.
Like, what was y'all fines then?
For? Oh, man, shit, $250. You know. get kicked out the game, $250.
Now I see why everybody get knocked out.
Yeah, yeah. $250.
$250, then yeah. You can knock a few people out for $250. You swing on the whole league.
Yeah.
You know, people ask me, and it's like, yo, these guys are soft. And I was like, I said, we're soft, but you gotta understand. The money is so different on fines.
Yes.
Like, the money's so different on fines that it ain't even worth it.
No, it ain't worth it. But, man, why, man? You're going to take that mold, man.
You know, I get kicked out of the game. That's a game changer.
Yes, that's like, the ball.
You're talking about $250. That's $250,000.
That's
I would slap you, brother. Worth $250,000.
I might wait and catch you outside this arena somewhere. Roll up on you like that.
But that's what I said. I said that, you know, like, it ain't that the players are, like, soft like that. It's just, like, the rules has changed
so much.
We don't have to.
Right.
That aggression that
you don't have to have that shit.
You know, now it's not like doggy all dog.
Right.
Because I remember when I came in, we're playing against Denver. I got Danny Fortson on the team. And him and was it George McLeod?
George McLeod, they get into
a little scuffle. And I remember, like, they got kicked out. I'm walking to the locker room. And I just felt this big old hand just, like, hey. And he was like, yeah, you tell that mug I'm outside. Tell Danny I'm outside. Yes. We need to handle this like me.
George.
Yes. Okay, big fella. I didn't do that. I didn't play. I was like, hey, Danny.
I'm trying to learn this shit.
McLeod guy out there waiting for you. He was like, he waiting for me? Yeah, I've been waiting for this motherfucker all the time. And I'm sitting here like, wait, what are you about to do? Y'all about to go fight?
Yes, that's how that shit
works. I thought this was the NBA, bro.
This is damn WNBA. UFC.
I was like, nah, man, y'all ain't just supposed to just argue and just want to fight? Like, the way he hit me, I was like,
like a damn punch.
This one thing I'm not doing in this sport is fighting. I'll fake it, I'll do all that. That hand hitting my shoulder, bro, like I did something wrong. Like, anybody try, like, hey, young fella, what? Hey, dude, I'm not Danny, bro. I don't know him like that. I'll let you in. You need to pay here. I'll put the code in. Going up in there, bro. That man was. No, I was like, "This is different. This is 2000."
Right.
I can only imagine.
Late '80s, man.
I can only imagine.
So we talk about Steph nowadays, obviously the greatest 3-point shooter in NBA history. But you were a bad mother too from behind the line. I don't think a lot of people give you the credit you deserve. You led the league in 3-point makes in '91 and '92. Mm. I'm just gonna read this off here. You were 162 for 473 attempts. Steph this year was 285 on 750. You know, if you could have had the ability to take more threes back in that time, coaches really didn't, I don't think, registered in their brain the value that the three had back then. But do you think, you know, if you were playing in today's game.
Oh, shit.
You're going to let that thing fly?
Yeah, man. Oh, man. I'll get 10, 12 of them up a game. Now, that's what they want these kids to do now. That's all they want them to do. I mean, God damn, like that shot Jimmy Butler took. I love you, Jimmy, but that last game they lost, I was like, damn, Jimmy, you had damn Al Horford on his heels, backpedaling like a mother. All you got to do is go right up his chest, get to the line, We going in overtime, baby. Mm-hmm. I mean, that man, but I mean, shit, that's what they want, man. They want these kids to shoot these threes, man. But yeah, I think I'd have been hell of a, I'd have been $200 million man, man. This man, he'd probably been $500 million man. I'd have been $200 million man, man, nowadays, man. Because I was a two-way player, too, so.
You know the bad part about, the bad part, the sad part about it is, you have shooters, I can't even call them shooters, people who are taking threes.
Right,
you know, there's a difference.
Right,
right. No, they take threes. No,
yeah, yeah.
And they're gonna, they have more threes made than real shooters.
Shooters, that's right.
So when you start looking at history, and you're gonna be like, yeah, this is a three-point shooter, and then you're gonna be like, yeah, this is a him. And you're gonna be like, well, he's better than him.
That's
like,
what they be looking at. That would be me. They be like, talking about, this is him, that's me.
Like
he said, people don't really know I was a good
three-point shooter
like that.
But you got a post man, you got, you know, so you shooting the shots that you don't get to come down and shoot 10 threes.
Right.
Like you take 10 threes from before time to about 2010. You take 10 threes, you was like, You at least 8 for 10 at that moment.
Yeah,
just to even attempt to 10.
You better be real consistent.
Now it's like.
Yeah, they just be taking them,
They were like a 3 for 17 from the three-point line.
I know it'd be crazy.
He took
17 threes? What are two shots? What are 2-point shots was and shit? This shit is crazy, man. That's crazy.
So you played, obviously, you know, with that mentality. We could talk about running in the stands of Portland and fighting the fans and all that good shit, which I think you only, what, like 10 game suspension, only 20 grand fine, which I know Ryan Arquette is probably looking like,
how much you say?
Huh?
How much you said?
I was about 20, 20,000.
No, 300,000.
300?
Yeah, they hit me for three for that one.
Ooh.
They got me for the 10, you know, that
money. Oh, that's 10 games.
That's 10 games.
Them game checks. But was there a certain mentality that you played with when you were out on the court that just, you know, just fearless and you gonna have to let motherfuckers know what it was?
Well, I just didn't, half of the time, shit, I was just playing, man. You know what I mean? When you think when you're playing, you ain't gonna be that good, man. You just gotta play this game, man. And I mean, instincts just take over and just play the game, man. And I mean, I don't know why motherfuckers be scared and shit. Ain't nothing never be scared about this goddamn sports shit. None of these sports and shit to be scared of. I can see you getting a little, I don't know what to call that shit. I don't think I was nervous or nothing. But I don't know what it's anxiety or some shit.
Yeah.
That's what it called, is some shit like that before the game.
Nerves.
You know, you feel nervous, I guess nerves or something getting you. And then, but once you get the ball in your hand and you get out there on the floor, that shit go away. But yeah, that's.
Is it because of like just the era just that you grew up in? That's just the way sports was played. Because if you look at just sports all across, it was like, it was rougher, just around.
You
every
know,
sport,
going, yeah.
it was just like,
it's,
you know, you had to be.
Physical as hell.
Like me and my boy, Tracy Mills, we argue. He's 80s. I don't give a
shit. Okay, he strikes it.
All day 80s. And he'd tell me, he's like, man, you got to think about how we grew up in the 80s.
Right.
How we grew up,
it was different.
Being, you know, the racial thing, you know, everybody coming from the hood. You got to fight to get out of it. So the people who got out of it, you got to think about their mentalities.
Mentality, they ain't taking no shit. They're totally different.
He said, tell somebody something they'll put you in the mouth.
They're drinking out of straw for 6 weeks.
And that's what he was saying. He said, so, you know, like, He said if we gave the 80s mentality y'all skill.
Oh my goodness.
And I had to think about it. Mm-hmm. I was like,
I hear what he said. I like what Mills said.
He's like, you're right, because you guys, the 80s had to go through mentally something different. So all those men were just strong-minded men.
Just to make it from where we came from. Yeah. But see, a lot of these kids nowadays, just me too, like my kid, my son Tristan at Georgia Tech, I told you, love you to death. I want to talk about that too with y'all here. But these kids are so pampered, man. We pamper these kids because we don't want them to go through what we went through, and we want them to live this good life. Mm-hmm. And so we tend to like give them every damn thing. They, you know, and then when we grew up, man, wasn't giving us. We had to earn every damn thing. Go get that goddamn lawnmower and go cut some goddamn yards and then come back here. Then you can go get this shit what you want to go get. But nowadays, man, we do everything for our kids, man. They don't do nothing for themselves, man. So that's where that shit come from, too, I think. A lot
but
of
you
shit.
Know, like, it's
pampered.
We can't even say it's wrong.
No, it ain't wrong.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, both sides made it.
That's right. That's
you know
right.
What I mean?
Yeah,
both
no,
sides.
Right.
This group made it.
Right.
The pamper group is making it. No. So it's like.
Yeah, that's right. Now.
But we know
yeah, right,
if you
right.
gave the if you gave this group this skill,
right here,
oh, it'll be, kill us.
Oh, man, they done over here. Yeah that's right. The hunger boys over there. You
see,
give
I was
them
in
this?
The middle of it, so I got to see MJ. I got to see how MJ thought. You know,
right.
I got to watch
right.
the 90s.
Right.
You know, I got to watch,
right.
like, real basketball.
Yeah,
like,
no doubt.
You know, like, Dennis Rodman.
No doubt,
and then,
yeah.
you know, you got to remember going to the park,
yeah.
playing outside
Come on,
basketball.
Man. That's what the game was about,
the
man.
The 80s, man,
playing
you're getting clothesline. You're getting clothesline.
Yeah,
no
man.
Blood,
on
no foul.
Man. On C-Man.
I'm bleeding,
C-Man. I mean you go to
bro.
You go in 11, man. I mean, you ain't no motherfucker going to get the 11 because
yep.
you're going to keep the motherfuckers going to be hacking all goddamn night long just because the nightfall going to come for
yeah.
motherfucking 11.
Yep.
I mean, so it was different mentality back then, man.
So when you look at the GOAT debate, obviously you said MJ, but who's your favorite basketball player of all time? Who would you say is the GOAT?
Well, when I came up, Dr. J was my guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That was my guy, Dr. J, so, yeah.
Dang, that is crazy. That is, you know, it's crazy because I just thought about an argument somebody had with me. They was like, MJ is not my GOAT. I said, was it LeBron? Kobe? That's like, oh, no, Dr. J.
See, because we came up playing with, I came up the same with Mike, you know, so, and then we grew up watching Dr. J.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to beat Bird ass. That's what I was liking. Dr. J, that was my favorite guy. You know,
and, so. And it was like, Doc, like, there's, you know, at a certain age, there
yeah.
was like, if you ask the right age group
yeah.
who the GOAT is,
yes,
it's Dr. J.
Jay.
There's no,
yeah.
there's
nah.
a group that's
nah,
pissed
it's,
off.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
why,
it's Dr.
Why
J.
is Dr. J not listening?
Right, that's what
I'm
trying to say,
and
man.
And I just thought about it. We're so used to hearing Jordan, Kobe,
Jordan,
LeBron,
yeah, yeah.
and you got a generation that's
when,
like,
when
no.
we came up,
and
Dr.
J was our
Dr.
first.
J, man.
Dr. J was the first superhero.
Come on, man. All that shit don't.
Yeah,
that,
and then it's just weird that you just don't hear his name in that debate of best three. Now,
yeah,
you won't
right.
even put, like if they do a wasn't they wouldn't even put him in the top 10.
No, they wouldn't. No way.
They wouldn't even put Dr. J in the top 10.
That's the name you don't hear.
And you,
they won't.
And you got a group that's probably what was it 60s like anywhere like 60 and above.
Yeah,
Dr.
Yeah.
J. They got Dr. J over Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. That mean.
Yeah, they got
that was my favorite
because
guy.
You played with
that.
That
was my,
against,
I played
got,
with my,
got,
I played
Dr. J
against
Jordan.
Mike, so he ain't my favorite. You know, I'm Dr. J. That's why I ain't get shit from him, but I just loved his game, and I loved to watch him play. That was my favorite player coming up.
Man, it's like
you know, but we, I didn't play like
and
that.
I experienced. But that's what I said. I experienced that, like talking to somebody who's like 60 and over, and I'm like, yeah you know, it was like, no, Dr. J is better than Jordan.
Yeah.
And I said, wait, come again. It was like Dr. J. It was like what Jordan was, Dr. J
was
that.
That's right.
You talking about the ABA? He was like,
that.
It was like he was like the first like.
Nah, he was that
like
guy.
When
yeah,
he said swag, when it said
put
swag,
on
they
clothes,
was like,
put on
they was like
clothes
he had swag. They
yeah,
like,
put on them clothes and all that. That
like
was
Dr.
J,
was,
man.
Dr. J was
that guy. That
he was a classy
yeah,
swag.
Yeah, that's what you want to be like, Dr. J.
He said, you got to remember, you had to come to the arena to see him.
Yes, sir. That's right. You couldn't see him on TV.
There was no
now,
TV. There was no TV. It was you come there.
Come on.
You come.
Yes.
Watch me.
Yeah, come.
Sold out arenas. And
yes,
I said, you
yes,
know.
Yes, yes, yes.
I got a funny Dr. J story. So my pops is Marcus Johnson, played, you know, late 70. Knocked Dr. J off the All-NBA team, I believe, in like 81, 82, whatever it was. But he told me the story. So he's in Philly. Dr. J hit him up. Like, Marcus, I'm going to take you out, show you around. Comes and picks him up in a nice Cadillac. Goes and takes him steak dinner, but just get some stuff.
Tell,
like,
yeah, get him.
Come on, MJ, eat some more, whatever. But then goes out, busts his ass that night. So, you know, like ever since then, whenever Dr. J wanted to hang out after that, I was like,
nah.
I'm not playing that.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna
man.
Fall for that.
Okay, that's your dad, man. Yeah. Okay, man, your dad was a hell of a ball player, man.
He did some things, man.
Nah, man, that man can score that ball, man.
Most definitely.
Yes, he could, man.
Max, we appreciate you pulling up.
Thanks,
man. Some time with
him. Well, hold on, I want to say one thing. The gear, I got to get up because my son, he ain't gonna let me live, man. My son at Georgia Tech, man. Uh-huh. Tristan Maxwell, man. He love you so much, man. I mean, he patterned his game after you, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said, damn, where I was at?
He said, where I was at?
You was doing something else, nigga. I was watching this man. He watched you when you got that 60, and that's all he watched all the time. He told me, Dad, you gotta let him know. I was all out patterning my game after him and tell him to watch me this year. So yeah, Georgia Tech, number 11, Tristan Maxwell coming up. So he love your game, man.
Man, tell him, hey, listen. You know, he's going to be a sophomore, right?
Yeah, sophomore. I'm going to put you in touch with him, though.
Tell him to do his thing, man.
I'm going to put you in touch with him. Yeah. Just got to stay a killer. I told him. Be a killer.
Do what you do. And that's what I tell people. Like, if you a killer, be a killer. Let them see. Let them see that. So when they put you in a game, they know what you're going to do.
They ain't got to speculate and think about what is
the motherfucker. Stop trying to conform.
And
then when you get out there, you in the jungle, and now you want to kill, and they're like, I ain't put you in. Nah, you killing. Practice, you killing, whatever.
Right.
When they put you out there, that means they want you to do that.
Right.
And that's how I was when I came into the NBA, right? Same thing in college.
No doubt.
I only know how to do this.
Right?
So I'm just going to do it 24-7.
Yeah.
If you call my name, hey, look, I'll be on the, listen, the game be going on, I'll be on the bench like this. You call my name,
They need a bucket.
10 shots in 3 minutes.
Damn,
that's
right.
Me.
That's me.
That's how I was. I remember when I came in, I used to come in, be like 2 minutes left. I'm taking 5 to 10 shots.
See what I'm saying? That's how I was thinking. My man's like coming out that damn bench. Boy, you're thinking like me. I should tell my nigga, man, hey, man, I'm finna foul you, dude. Hey, man, I'm finna foul you and get you on this line, boy. I need to get some more shots up, boy. I gotta get a couple more. Shit, I gotta foul you. Coach is looking over there. Man, what are you fouling for?
Why you keep fouling this man?
Yo, my bad, coach. I ain't try that shit. Go ahead. I'm finna get me one. I'm bringing this motherfucker up to get one off.
The people used to look at him and say, like, how did he get 10 shots up in 2 minutes?
Yeah, I know. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you better learn the game.
Yeah, you better learn the game.
You better learn the game. I had 10 shots, 4 fouls, 2 minutes. I'm using these, bro. I don't know what y'all thinking. This is a numbers game.
No doubt, man. But I just want to say that, man, I appreciate y'all guys for having me on. I've been waiting on this shit for a long time. I watch y'all guys all the time.
All right.
Appreciate you, baby.
All right.
Love, man. Thanks, man.
It's been another episode of No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We'll be back for more very soon.